The festive season has started, and I'm sure many of you are keeping a close watch on all the discounts online as well as in offline shops. But there is one more shopping that many people do around this time. That's gold. But that's for sentiment and festive good luck mainly. Now, gold is also used as an investment, and increasingly many financial experts have been recommending investors to hold some bit of gold also in their portfolios. Now, gold prices have been consistently rising since the beginning of 2019, and many investors have already invested in gold so far. So should you buy gold this festive season like you always do? If you buy gold as an investment, then how long should you hold it for? And what's the best way of buying gold? You're listening to Simply Safe Podcast, Money Control's very own personal finance podcast. With me, I'm Kaisar Adajania. In today's episode, I'm joined by Chintan Haria, who is the head of products at ICICI Prudential Mutual Fund, to talk about gold as an investment. How should investors invest, and how much gold should you actually hold? Hi Chintan, welcome to Simply Safe Podcast. How are you doing today?
All good, Kaisar. A big hello to all your listeners as well, and thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for joining, Chintan. Chintan, you've been, you know, the voice that many of us go to get to know about your opinions on gold. So, you know, with the festive season around the corner, we thought, let's have a little bit of chat on gold, gold as an investment, gold around festive buying. So, you know, the first question that I wanted to ask you is about, you know, gold prices. I mean, that's one thing that's been on many investors' minds. I mean, gold prices have been going up, in fact, since the start of 2019. Okay, we are almost towards the end of 2020. How much more do you think gold prices can go on from here? And, you know, what would be the impact of the US fiscal stimulus if and when it comes on gold?
Yeah, so I think gold has been the topic of discussion. And unlike many of my other talks, it also interests my wife to listen to what I talk on gold, because obviously her liking for gold exists. But yeah, on a more serious note, if we see what's happening in the world right now, we've seen post-March a big stimulus from US. About $3.5-4 trillion is what the federal balance sheet has expanded. EU and Japan as well has expanded by more than $1 trillion. What it has led to, of course, is that extra money in the hands of the world economy, and which has translated into not just a gold rally. While all of us are focused on gold, it's been an equity rally, a gold rally, and a bond rally. So I would say it's an all asset class rally. But if I have to focus on gold alone and give you a crystal gazing picture as we move along, we've seen whenever the US fiscal deficit increases, and it is increasing right now, whenever the interest rates are low, they are very low and are likely to remain low for long, and whenever there is money printing in US, we will find gold prices kind of showing an upward trajectory. So it happened in the 1970s, it happened in 2000 to 2010, and it may as well reflect in the coming 5 to 10 years. And we've also come out of a 10-year consolidation from gold. So happy to discuss more in detail as we move along.
Okay, cool. So Chintan, we can invest over here in India in gold in broadly three or four forms. Of course, you have your physical gold also, you know, but as far as investments are concerned, you have gold ETFs. And of course, gold mutual funds, fund of funds that invest in ETFs, and then you have your gold savings bonds also. Now, you leave your physical gold aside. Are you seeing more and more investors adopting to this paper gold format or electronic gold format, like gold ETFs or gold mutual funds, away from physical gold? What's the experience when you talk to investors?
Yeah. I think, while you rightly mentioned physical gold was something which people used to invest in a big way, I think over the last 3 to 4 years, and especially last 1 year or so, the investments in gold ETFs, gold fund of funds, which invest in gold ETFs, and the sovereign gold bond of RBI have increased, and they are showing increasing traction. Maybe because it's easy to sit at home and buy the gold as well, because you don't need to physically go to a goldsmith and buy the physical gold. And it's convenient, and you get it in DMAT form or in a digital form. Yeah. So in this current environment where people are actually afraid to go out too much and there was a lockdown, that was a default choice. And I think that is why it has caught up. And it's also a very efficient way for most people to invest. And unlike physical gold, the digital gold does allow investments in much smaller quantities as well. I think also that resides well with many of the investing class who may not necessarily have very large sums to invest, but want to accumulate gold units through smaller investments.
But this lockdown, as you said, would have nudged more and more people to shift from buying physical gold to electronic gold, like gold ETFs and all, right? Savings bonds also have been very popular, gold savings bonds also.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you can, at the comfort of your home, without having to worry about, you know, exposing yourself to the outside environment, you can actually invest in gold through in all these mediums.
So tell me, the gold ETF inflows have been consistently, you know, going up. They've been on a high in the last 2-3 years following the trajectory of gold prices. But, you know, not everyone has a Demat account. So mutual funds found a way to sort of get investors to invest, even if they don't have a Demat account, by launching a gold FOF, which will invest everything in gold. So how does that work? If you can explain it for our listeners.
Yeah, so like you rightly mentioned, if you want to invest in a gold ETF, you need to have a Demat account. You go on the trading floor of the exchange and you buy the digital units on the exchange through a brokerage. However, if you do not have a Demat account, there is no need to worry, because the gold savings fund of fund are essentially your choice of investment, where you can simply invest in it like any other mutual fund investment through any of the modes, you know, online modes or physical transaction mode. Just like any other mutual fund, you go to invest. You can invest through our app as well. And the gold savings fund of fund will in turn invest in the gold ETF. So it's a indirect way of investing in the gold ETF for those who do not have a Demat account. And it's very convenient. And at a click of a button, you can do it.
And it invests in entire purpose in your gold ETF, right? The gold FOF.
Yes. Yes. It invests the entire corpus into the gold ETF.
So from a liquidity perspective, which one is better? I mean, for an investor, you know, because that's what mutual funds offer, right? You offer the choice of liquidity to investors in case if they want to withdraw in another 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Now, ETFs are not, I mean, ETFs are very convenient, low-cost vehicles. Everybody knows that. But the liquidity is a problem which not many people know. So should you invest in a gold ETF or should you invest in a gold FOF, if you know that, or a fund of fund, that means? If you know that, you know, you might require your money like anytime, 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, so essentially as a manufacturing entity, as a mutual fund, we obviously want the investors to have liquidity both on the gold ETF. And of course, the gold savings fund will be liquid. You can input as much as you want. You can take out as much as you want from the gold savings fund of fund, much like you do in any other mutual fund. As far as the ETF liquidity is concerned also, Kaiser, there is no issues, because you have authorized participants who are standing, and gold being a very large commodity, there is a lot of liquidity on the underlying physical commodity as well in the markets, and hence those authorized participants whom we have, they can easily provide enough liquidity on the exchanges for even larger investors to buy and sell the ETF. So I would say from a investor perspective, liquidity should not be a worry at all while investing in the gold ETF or the gold savings fund of fund. I think it's just a matter of convenience, which the investor can choose whether they want to do it through the ETF route, where they'll need a Demat account, or they just invest in the gold savings fund of fund, where they don't need a Demat account at all.
Okay. You know, festive time, Chintan, many of us think of buying gold during these times, Dashera time, Diwali time. It's a tradition, right? But, you know, now, because of the way the gold prices have been going up, you know, many investors have already been investing in gold irrespective of a festive occasion. So they've been accumulating gold, they've been investing in gold. You know how gold prices have also, gold funds have also returned in the past couple of years, right? So, you know, come festive time this year, do you feel that, you know, people should basically take a look at their gold allocation as of now and then decide whether you should buy a gold or not, or you feel we should continue with the tradition and still buy a little bit of gold this Diwali?
So you're right that our traditions actually have helped us as a country accumulate a lot of gold, and gold prices are you know, going up, which means that the wealth of the country is also going up, which is good. However, as far as asset allocation is concerned and the consistent buying every year, which all of us do, I think if we save every year and some part of our savings is going in debt and in equities, then yes, some part of our savings should also go in gold. So I'd say we should keep that asset allocation going. And in fact, while in India, gold has hit an all-time high you know, many years back, and that continues. In the international market, the all-time high of $1,960 was hit after a gap of 10 years. So between 2010-11, when it first hit $1,960 per ounce, it came down to almost, I think, $1,200 or less than that in the subsequent years leading up to 2015. And again, it has gone up to $1,960 and then retraced a bit right now. So in the international market, after a 10-year consolidation, we are seeing gold going up. So clearly, it may make sense to continue with the tradition and add gold. I think generally, as it's seen, anywhere between 5 to 10% of the asset allocation of investors, if it's in gold, it is not something, it will do well from a diversification perspective as well as a hedge against a potential inflationary environment.
So that is irrespective of whether you are a conservative investor or an aggressive investor. I mean, that's agnostic, right? When you say 5 to 10% of gold, 5 to 10% of your portfolio should be in gold.
Yeah, so yes, as far as aggressive and conservative is concerned, generally because equity markets are more volatile, people tend to move the equity allocation. If they are aggressive, they are more than 50. If they are defensive or conservative, they are at about 20, 25 and the balance is in debt. But gold, for sure, I think 5 to 10% is something which remains a good mix as an overall portfolio, because in India, interest rates used to be high traditionally. Now, with interest rates coming down in India, maybe that 5 to 10% Kaisad on hindsight can actually increase to 15 to 20% if gold prices do give a dip. But as things stand right now, because gold has been one of the better performing asset classes in the last 1 year, I would say at least 5 to 10% in financial savings in gold is something good to start with.
Okay. Last question, Chintan. Gold savings bonds also have been getting very popular because, you know, they give you a fixed interest rate of about 2.5% on an annual basis. How should investors decide whether they should go for an ETF or whether they should go for a fund of fund? Or now you have gold savings bonds also.
Yeah, so the way I've been seeing investor behavior is that those who are long-term investors in gold and really want to hold gold for the next maybe 3, 5, 10 years and maybe not trade in it, they are probably looking at investing it through the bond route, which is the RBI sovereign gold bond route. Mm-hmm. And those who are actually traders or want to actually take advantage of sudden gold spikes in the next 1 year or 2 year, they are probably looking at investing it through the gold ETF route because it's probably more liquid and it's more easier to invest. But I think both routes are good for the investor. I don't think one route or the other is better for the investor. Both are good routes both should be looked at by the investors from an investing perspective as part of their gold allocation.
Right, Chintan. Thank you so much for your insights. Thank you so much for your views and wish you a very happy Diwali.
Thank you, Kaisad, and wishing all your listeners as well a very happy Diwali, a safe Diwali, and hope we all see a better 2021 as well.
That's all for today's podcast. If you have any feedback to share, do write in to us at mcpodcast@mw18.com. I repeat, it's mcpodcast@mw18.com. For more news, views and updates, log on to moneycontrol.com. Wish you all, our listeners and your loved ones, a happy Diwali.